This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. I'm also rubbing my hands together because it's a little cool, and it's supposed to be getting colder. At least it was revised up originally. It was supposed to be down to 2 tonight, but now they're saying 5. I know if anyone's listening to this who's in the northern parts. It gets colder up there, but this is cold for us. But we have had some snow. It has mostly melted off at this point, so that's good. And then it's going to be cold tonight, but I don't think we're having any more snow, so we'll be just fine. Just fine. Everything will be fine. I was just thinking this morning, again, as I was driving in and pondering all the little things that are going on. You know, in 50,000 years, what difference is it going to make? Just relax. Everything's fine. Everything at my major client has been going well. I've been a little low on hours this month just because seems like every week there's something. First week, I was taking final delivery of the rest of the vein work stands. And then the next week, my wife, Lynette, had surgery. And so I was out on Tuesday. And then this week, my major client was actually closed for Martin Luther King Day. And so, but, you know, at the end of the day, everything, is going to be fine. It's going to be just fine. Let's see, where to start? Well, it's episode 95. That's the first place to start. And it's been an interesting week. As far as the vein work stand goes, I'm still working to figure out how all this marketing stuff works. And I actually downloaded a tool to help me kind of explore market potential and market niches and those types of things. Really fascinating. This whole thing of marketing is really fascinating. I mean, the essence of marketing comes down to a joke that was told on one of these videos about these two businessmen who were walking along in Africa, and they spotted this lion who was eyeing them for dinner. And one of the businessmen sat down, took off his hiking boots, and put on his tennis shoes. And the other guy said, "Well, what are you doing that for? There's no way we can outrun him." And he said, "I don't have to outrun him. I just have to outrun you." See? And that's really a lot of what marketing is about. I'm just going to be a little faster than the other guy. And then I'll be able to reap the rewards. Well, what's interesting about the vein work stand is it's new-ish enough that the traditional way that you get business is you find streams on the internet plan. You find streams that are out there of things people are interested in, and then you coordinate all of your efforts in presentation so that you will be caught up in that stream. And that's how you get people coming in. Because the whole internet approach now is very search-based approach. Granted, Facebook is starting to change that. And so the way most people contact the internet is they go in through Google when they're looking for things. Now, Facebook has started to change that, and I should probably investigate how to use Facebook for viral marketing, which I'm sure someone out there has written an article about that, which is interesting. But looking at it from the traditional viewpoint of the Google thing, it's very interesting because all of the little streams that I might think, oh, that'd be a good stream for me to get in, those are already populated by really big players. Like, I tried just running an analysis on the words video call, and holy cow. I mean, it's no way I'm going to make a dent in that stream. That's just a waste of time. So it's very interesting. I've been learning a lot of stuff, you know, just taking it step by step. And with this little project, I'm just going to keep going until I'm out of moves. And then if it doesn't go anywhere, it'll be like, well, that was very interesting. In addition to that, this week, I had a friend who got some disturbing news this week. And I was talking to this friend and just today, and, you know, stressing again that the interesting thing about life is that, first of all, the flesh will stir us up and get us all concerned about eventualities that may or may not come at all. And then once it has us all stirred up about that, then it'll turn around us and tell us what a worthless person we are, or what a worthless Christian we are, because we don't trust God. And I mean, it's really insidious. It's just insidious. And so I was stressing again to this person, you know, just remember who God is. Sometimes it helps to talk out loud to yourself. Just understand that in 50,000 years, all we're going to look back on this, and everything's going to be just fine. So that's kind of, it's been an interesting week. It's been an interesting week for some of those things. I did come across a couple of different articles this week that I just found fascinating. And I wasn't sure really which one I was going to talk about. I may end up talking about both of them. We'll see. The first article was actually out of the Wall Street Journal. It was written by a woman. And I thought it was a really interesting opinion piece. And frankly, I have felt the effects of the subject of the article for some years now. The idea, the title of the piece was Eek, a Male. And the idea behind the piece is that when we treat all men as if they're predators and they're the enemy, we lose something in society. And that is absolutely true. She gave a lot of examples that I guess I hadn't realized how bad this had become. She said that last week, this probably would have been sometime near the beginning of the year, last week the lieutenant governor of Massachusetts, his name's Timothy Murray, he noticed smoke was coming out of a minivan in his hometown, and so he raced over and he pulled out two children from the minivan just moments before the van's tire exploded into flames. So he sees this van, he runs over there, he grabs these children. He said, as he's grabbing these children, according to the AP account, the grandmother, who had been driving the van, nearly punched him in the face because she assumed he was abducting the children. Her tire's on fire. She's assuming that he's abducting the children. Why? Well, because he's a man and he's around children. So, you know, we all know what that means. And frankly, well, let me give you some more examples. She gave another example of a daycare center in Iowa. It had come up where there was a male aide who worked at the daycare center. And he wasn't allowed to change any diapers. And in fact, when diapers were being changed, he had to leave the room because apparently they were worried that he I have changed diapers in my life. I can tell you, there's really nothing enthralling about changing a diaper at all. But apparently, the people at the daycare center were concerned about this. Anyways, there was another story that she told about a worker in a store. Well, oh, rats. I'm like my mom. I told the punchline first. There was a man in a store carrying around a bunch of girls' panties, and a woman started following him around saying, "You're pathetic. You're disgusting. What's wrong with you?" Turns out the guy was a worker in the store, and he just was supposed to be restocking these things. And, of course, whatever. I mean, she also talked about the fact that teachers in London now, the British Musicians Union, have said that teachers, if they're trying to teach children an instrument, that they shouldn't even touch their hands to reposition. I mean, it's really, getting ridiculous. And there's other sadder stories in the article. There was one story about a man who was going to some sort of sporting event, helping out with the kids. It was some kid's sporting event. And there was a kid there that had kind of taken a liking to him, kind of a dad thing, and they were spending a little more time together. And, he'd give the kid a hug and congratulate him when he'd do a good job. And he said, and then some of the other parents started eyeing him suspiciously, like, "Oh, what's he doing over there? What's he going to do? And so finally the guy said, "I just quit going." Which is kind of sad. Another story she tells about the fact that a guy was lost and he couldn't bend. He saw a couple of kids there, so he rolls down the window to ask them a question and they run off screaming. And an even sadder story about a man who was driving along. In England in 2006, BBC News reported the story of a bricklayer who spotted a toddler at the side of the road. As he later testified at a hearing, he didn't stop to help her for fear he'd be accused of trying to abduct her. A man driving around with a little girl in his car. So he didn't stop. He drove on. The little girl wandered down to a pond, and she drowned. The author herself comes to a very good conclusion in this. She says, "We think we're protecting our kids by treating all men as potential predators, but that's not a society that's safe, that's sick." Which is true. And the fact is, our society is sick. And it is the preoccupation with fleshly pursuits. It is the acquiescence to fleshly pursuits that cause this. Every time we turn around in our society, in every way, in this particular instance, things are sexualized. Every advertisement, it's very rare to find any kind of ads that don't have some kind of sexual undertones to them. In addition to the fact that the news that gets reported on is always the titillating, it's always the terrible, it's always the abusive, it's always those things which paint everything in the worst possible light. And so we just give fodder to the flesh within us. And it becomes the same type of thing that drives racist thinking. That we have this map of every man's a predator. Which is really, in my opinion, bad for society. Extremely bad for society. And as I said, I've got plans for the last 15, 20 years. I've been very careful. I mean, I don't allow myself to be alone with children. Not because I'm worried about anything I'm going to do, but because all you have to do is have a child accuse you, and it's just taken as gospel. And it's you just never get away from that, those accusations, once they're out. And so it is extremely rare. I mean, I happen to think over Christmas, we did have some family relatives came in, and they had a little boy, and I was driving a truck out because I had brought home a shipment of Vaneworks stands, and I was going to drive the truck up the hill, and he loved trucks. So I said, well, you want to come ride with me as we drive up the hill? And so we did that. That was like a big deal for him. But that's extremely, extremely rare for me. Because I don't even want there to be a possibility that someone is going to say something. And so I just pull back. The problem, I think, becomes if that's our society's whole approach. If men don't have the opportunity to know children and to live lives of strength and grace before them, I think our children have lost something very dire. Not that I have anything against women and how they raise children or anything like that, but there are two genders for a reason. Typically, we come at things from different directions. And the best of all possible worlds is when you have both viewpoints and you have a coming of the minds together for both viewpoints in an environment where children can observe that. But if we have now generated in our Western societies this environment where we're going to consider all men predators simply because some are, we have lost something terrible by doing that. Because if a child happens to be separated from their parents or from his or her mother, and there's no recognition that there is the potential for help. I mean, I understand that there are those who are possessed of their flesh out there who will do terrible things to children. I understand that. But by the same token, you know, there is this sad story on the flip side that here is this little toddler girl who could have been saved by this man, and he was afraid of what people would think, and so he didn't act when he could have acted and could have saved her life. And I'm sure that's something that he regrets. But again, this is a pattern of what the flesh does in us individually and what the flesh does in us as a society, as the world, because whatever road it leads us down, you can bet that that road is going to lead to failure. And so the flesh takes something that's true. It is true that there are certain men who are predators, and it evokes fear, and it generalizes, much in the same way a racist mindset is developed. And it causes there then to be a concept that in its implementation leads to destruction. So if we have this idea of all men are predators, then we lose the resource that there is in men to offer aid and assistance and strength. My little road here, my farm road, is covered in ice, so I'm going to slow down. Covered in a little snow, it looks like. I'm going to slow down a little bit. Well, there goes a fox. A tiny little fox. Animal fox. I haven't seen a fox around here in a while. Nice thing about living in the country. But this is the flesh's tactic. You know, it will take something, drive it to an extreme, generate emotions based on those extremes. And if we follow it down that path, we can guarantee that something is going to go wrong because of it. And then when something goes wrong, then it will turn around and it will tell us what horrible people we are because something went wrong. And the only way out of that is to not listen to the flesh and to do our best to recognize when stuff is being drummed up within us that is flesh. And that's sometimes it's tough because there is a balance. As I said, I have for many, many years been extremely careful not to be in a situation where I am alone with a child that could, you know, then say, oh, he did so and so and so and so. Now, the way the flesh would like to turn that in me is to turn it to where I would just, like, ignore the children who are even in the room. I'm getting my mail. One moment. I mean, I do think there is some wisdom in being wise about not exposing myself to something that could potentially be a lie and would cause me a lot of grief. On the other hand, I think I also have to be wise that and understand that the flesh is going to try to take that and then create behavior in me where I'm just going to completely ignore children as if I just don't even want to be around them. And that is a very negative outcome. And so what I try to do is, if people are around, I just try to be extremely friendly with kids and talk to them and say, how you doing? I'm backing into my garage. And always treat them with kindness and generosity, but then just very carefully maneuver to make sure that I'm not the only person that's alone with them. Because I recognize that all it takes is one careless word and things would not be good. So I guess the upshot of all this is, A, if you see within your mind that you have this idea that all men are predators, I think you should recognize that that's every bit in the same genre as racism itself, and that you should remind yourself constantly, no, all men are not predators. By the same token, you should be vigilant and not understand that some are, but just not think the worst of everyone all the time. And then also for men, I think men have to be careful not to give up on what is uniquely their role in terms of helping children understand life and giving them a different perspective on life. That they really do need to be involved, and sometimes they do need to take risks when the safety of children is involved. And in the case of the little girl, maybe what could have been done is to stop anyways. And, you know, if the guy had a cell phone, that'd been great. Apparently he didn't, because I'm sure he would have called. But there are just some circumstances that override the way things would look. And if there's some little girl on the road and she's a toddler, I mean, you know, I think in that case, you just take the risk, because it's far more important to ensure that the child is safe than the repercussions that might come because someone would misunderstand your actions. Of course, hindsight is always 20/20, but maybe from that lesson we can learn, and the Holy Spirit will bring it back to our remembrance if we ever get into a situation like that. And maybe we wouldn't drive on. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.